A young man once walked into a post office sporting a heavily bandaged hand. In his other hand, he carried a postcard, which he asked the clerk to address for him. The clerk did so, and then asked if he would also like if he would write the postcard for him, which he accepted. Then the clerk asked if there's anything else he could do for him, and the young man said, "Yes, please put a P.S. Please excuse the handwriting." Now, I hope you wouldn't do that, but the fact remains that we tend to be an ungrateful people. Fyodor Dostoevsky, in his book Notes from the Underground, which, by the way, I have not read, had this to say about humans. "Gentlemen, let us suppose that man is not stupid. But if he is not stupid, he is monstrously ungrateful, phenomenally ungrateful. In fact, I believe that the best definition of man is the ungrateful biped, or a creature that walks on two legs and is ungrateful." So this morning, I would like to spend several minutes focusing on the essential discipline of gratitude. Now, if you've been paying attention, you'll remember that this isn't exactly a fresh topic here. Several weeks ago, Arlen had a devotion on some of the negative examples of gratitude. Also, Dwight's recent message on parenting talked about avoiding the entitlement mentality, which comes from the opposite of gratitude. So, what prompted me to bring this up again? Well, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, there are several really stark verses in this chapter that I've been meditating on the past few weeks. I'd like to share Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Do all things without grumbling or disputing. As I meditated on these verses, I was blown away by the importance that it puts on living grateful, uncomplaining lives. You see, I tend to think of gratefulness as a nice extra on life. It makes life more pleasant. We enjoy being around grateful people. We teach children to say thank you because it's a nice, polite thing to say, and it makes the other person feel appreciated. Now, as parents, I'm sure that you're thinking beyond that to the character development of your children, but I find that I often think of thankfulness as being primarily for the benefit of the recipient, in appreciation for what they've done. But could it be that gratefulness or gratitude is really as much for the giver as for the recipient? Is it really true that gratitude is just a polite nicety? As I read these verses, I wondered, do these verses indicate that gratitude is a defining distinction between the people of God and the people of the world? Also, is gratitude merely a product of sanctification, or is it also a means to sanctification? What is it that makes gratitude so crucial? Well, let's look at the verses again. Let's start with the command in verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. How many of us faithfully followed this injunction this week? Several weeks ago, I made a phone call to our friendly internet service provider in which I shared my concern about the healthy portion of the fatted calf that they were demanding each month. Upon hearing my concerns, the operator transferred me to a member of the loyalty team. So I shared with him some of my perspective about the relative merits of a company that rewards its loyal customers by increasing the service rate by 50% after a year. He, in turn, explained to me the finer points of industry standards for internet service providers and assured me that price increases would be par for the course regardless of what company I chose. Well, we eventually came to something of a compromise, and he offered me a slight discount. But as I thought back on that phone conversation, now, I had considered my words before I called and had made effort to make so that my complaining wouldn't be too unchristian, but as I thought back, I did have to admit that I had not done all things without grumbling or complaining, so I had some repenting to do. So, there's the command, but in the next verse, it talks about why it's so important. It says that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. As I said before, I think gratitude is much deeper than a nice habit. It shapes who we are and who we become. Like forgiveness, the practice of gratitude has an even greater impact on the giver than on the recipient. I believe that the practice of gratitude brings greater holiness and sanctification in our lives. These verses in the NIV bring it out even more clearly. NIV says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure." It indicates that the practice of living an uncomplaining life actually leads to us becoming blameless and pure. Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29 have something similar to say. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." So this thankfulness, according to this verse, leads us to worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Genuine gratitude is a bending of the heart. It's a form of worship. It causes us to recognize our indebtedness to others and to God, and it produces humility within us, which is at the very heart of holiness. As Dostoevsky so helpfully pointed out, this posture of humility stands in stark contrast to a proud, self-made world. If we live lives of humble gratitude, we will indeed shine as lights in the world. So gratitude leads to greater holiness, greater sanctification. The opposite is also true, that ingratitude leads to greater rebellion and further distance from God. In Romans 1, as Paul is describing the terrible digression of mankind from its creator, he includes a lack of thankfulness as an important step in the process. Romans 1:21 says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." So as people failed to thank God, they became proud and turned in rebellion against him. Os Guinness, in his book Of Two Minds, which I have also not read, said, "Rebellion against God does not begin with the clenched fist of atheism, but with the self-satisfied heart of the one for whom thank you is redundant." Unthankfulness leads to further pride and rebellion. So, let us practice gratitude, which leads to holiness. As I said in the beginning, gratitude is a discipline. And the disciplines are actions, physical actions that we can do that put our hearts in a position where God can work on them. So we're familiar with the disciplines of fasting and prayer. And I would like to suggest that gratitude is also a discipline, something that we choose to do and that then shapes our hearts. Too often, we assume that gratitude is simply a feeling that spontaneously wells up inside of us. Unfortunately, it doesn't tend to do that by itself. It needs to be chosen and cultivated and practiced. and often the feelings will then follow. John Piper offered some helpful insight on the practice of choosing to exercise gratitude, whether we feel like it or not. He says, "Do not say, 'But it is hypocritical to thank God with my tongue when I don't feel thankful in my heart.' There is such a thing," he says, "as hypocritical thanksgiving. Its aim is to conceal ingratitude and to get the praise of men. That is not your aim. Your aim in loosing your tongue with words of gratitude is that God would be merciful and fill your words with the emotion of true gratitude. You are not seeking the praise of men. You are seeking the mercy of God. You are not hiding the hardness of ingratitude, but hoping for the inbreaking of the Spirit. Thanksgiving with the mouth stirs up thankfulness in the heart." So I challenge us to practice the discipline of genuine gratitude. I'll finish with the verses again. Ephesians 2:14 and 15. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we confess that everything that we have and enjoy is a gift from you. And we also confess that we tend to be very ungrateful and not recognize those gifts and not recognize your grace in our lives. And so this morning we ask that you would instill gratitude in our hearts and also a willingness to pursue the practice of gratitude, whether our hearts feel it or not. And we pray that through that you would faithfully bring greater sanctification and holiness in our hearts. I pray now for each Sunday school teacher as they lead out in their classes and for each person participating. I pray that you would breathe your Holy Spirit and direct us in our discussion. In Jesus' name, amen.